Hey, Ben, how are you?
I am wonderful. You look sharp.
I do.
Yeah, I know you took a little extra time today getting ready. You know.
Yeah, you can tell.
You took.
I have my new vitamin.
There you go. You must Came have been taking the ultimate aging formula.
Yeah. Well, I am starting tonight. Yeah.
Are we gonna go over that? There's the Common Sense MD episode, and if you guys have questions around some of these longevity supplements, they're super interesting, and I'll put them up. You have the real bottle with you. This is what's in there for the people who are interested. Astragalus, nicotinamide riboside, and apigenin. A few of those might sound familiar to you guys. We've talked about apigenin before. I have not heard you talk about astragalus. And the other thing, if you guys checked out the article that went along with the Common Sense MD episode, you talk a lot about NAD+, and I had no idea how critical that is. Can you talk a little bit about that before we start taking questions?
Yeah, well, the key of all these various forms of vitamin B3, niacin, is for longevity, are to raise your levels of NAD+, which is it's really something that your body can turn on that kind of helps clear out senescent cells and turn on certain gene expressions that will help, lengthen your telomeres and kind of clear up oxidation. I mean, read about NAD+. All the things that we do as far as whether it's niacinamide, nicotinamide, riboside, which is the one I chose to put in my longevity vitamin, all of them are meant, and even apigenin booster NAD+, they're all meant to kind of help that cell work better while it's surviving, so that the mitochondria work better. It's complex biochemically, but for years I've been looking at all these things you can do, and I always looked at TA65, which is a compound that's made by a company that I've seen at these longevity conferences for years and probably a couple decades. It's really astragalus. It's real expensive, and I don't know if anybody really takes it because it's unaffordable, really, for most people. You're talking about hundreds of dollars a month just for this one ingredient. Mm. Not that it's not good. It is good. But when you dig down on it, you can get the same form of astragalus. They say it's a proprietary form. Maybe it is. But this form that we put in there, it's not that expensive. And I combine them all for about the same price you could buy true niagen, which is really just the nicotinamide riboside that they put, and that sells millions of dollars worth of product yearly. So I combine them all. The purpose of my vitamins really is because I was taking too many different supplements. I wanted to combine them and make it more affordable and better, so it's all in one pill. So you get all the benefits. So, if you do a deep search and you look at that vitamins, it's pretty beneficial to people that are getting a little age on them like me. And I'm going to dose it at night because it has an apigenin in it that should help you rest. It's one of Dr. Huberman's famous products in his sleep stack. So I think it'll work out good. I'm kind of pumped up about it. I've been working on this for a long time.
It's super interesting. I want to say hello to Lisa. Thank you for sharing as always. Tabitha from Kingsport. Hello. Great. Thank you so much for being here. I want to put this up here from Barbara because, it's interesting. I think, some people might be thinking, is it too late for me?
It's not too late for anybody, especially Barbara, because if you can get out on the dance floor, she's 70, maybe a little over 70, I think, but she doesn't look it. But anyway, if she can get out on the dance floor, you know, she's got a lot of life in her.
That's
Barbara
right.
will probably live till she's 100. We're going to be living a long time. I mean, the average lifespan from 2000 to 2023 has gone up by over 5 years in that short span. And when you look at from 1900 to now, 2023, I mean, it's, you know, decades. So I suspect a lot of people are going to be living way past 100. As a matter of fact, there's a big argument right now between Elon Musk and Bill Gates on Bill Gates claims that we're going to be living, you know, 100 is the new 60. And Elon Musk is having none of it. Of course, he wants to get in the ring with Mark Zuckerberg, too. So, and have a mano-a-mano MMA fight with Mark Zuckerberg. So those rich guys are kind of interesting to kind of follow.
We're digressing.
No, Barbara, it's not too late. It's not too late for anybody. As a matter of fact, you know, you need to start taking it because you have a lot of life left in you. And, you know, when you really, just like Dr. Atiya says, he has a great podcast on, and he's a longevity expert. And he says that you better be in fairly good shape by the time you reach 75. If you're not, it's like dropping off a cliff. And that's probably right.
Is it 75?
I know. It's 75 now. From personal experience, I'm 68 and a half, and I know that when you get in your 60s, things change a little bit.
Yeah.
So you have to do things better, and, you know, supplementation is a major part of it. It just is. Again, like I say in my note today, nothing replaces exercise. That's number one. Then nutrition, sleep, stress, hormone optimization. And then, you know, I include nutrition as supplements. That's in there, right with nutrition. It's the same. You know, you just can't get it through all your foods. There's no way. So I'm excited.
I really love this question from Barbara. Thank you for, I guess it's a comment. Thank you for putting that in there because, you know, I think that's one of the, you know, reasons we have this show is so that, you know, to remind people it's not too late, you know. We are going to live, you know, a long time. And that's your big thing with hormones. I love your analogy of like, you know, if your eyesight was going downhill as you get older, would you not use, glasses, you know, in regards to the same thing with hormones and as you age, hormones decline. And, so it's super interesting. Barbara, thank you so much for putting that in there and prompting that.
I'm getting all these patients, Ben, that or my age, and they're having cataracts taken off. And now they have new technology to where they can put a lens in there so that you can see perfectly after your cataract surgery. I'm talking about not just your night vision. I'm talking about you don't have to use your glasses anymore.
Wow.
The people that have been wearing them for decades, they get this cataract surgery with the new lens stuff, and boom, they can see like they were a teenager again. So it's pretty cool.
That's wild. That's so cool. All right. What do you think? Should we get into some questions?
Yeah.
We're going to get into some question. I see Mike's comment there. Yes. Yes, it will be in the Knoxville office, both in Fountain City and West Knoxville. Let's see if I'm missing one. Okay. Let's get to a couple questions that came in throughout the week. And as you guys know, we're taking live questions. So if you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put that in the comments. I'm going to put this up because it has to do with what we were just talking about. Listening to today's podcast, I heard him say that taking NAD plus directly doesn't work. Frustration. I have been spending a fortune for the LE Life Extension NAD plus the past 6 months. Should I stop that? And then it goes on to say, has it been a total waste? I'm really glad this question came in.
Great question. No, it's not been a waste. I mean, some of it's going to get in. And again, like I said in my note, there are technologies that are really going to be able to get that NAD plus in by taking directly. But the problem is it gets degraded. And from everything, and it's controversial, but everything I look at, most of the experts lean towards the precursors that will stimulate your production of NAD plus in the body. So, No, you haven't wasted your money. It's certainly better than taking nothing. But you might, you know, I don't know if you feel any better or different, but you might even think about trying the, you know, the nicotinamide riboside, even niacinamide. You know, and again, these are not niacin, like that's going to flush you. This is not to lower your cholesterol. I put somebody today on niacin that didn't want to take a statin. And it was great for him because he didn't want a statin. I didn't want to put him on a statin anyway. But the problem with his lipid panel was his HDL was really low. And his LDL wasn't that high. It was like 120. It wasn't optimal. But the niacin will increase his HDL, which to me is more important than decreasing your LDL. So, but niacin, you have to work it up slowly. You'll take one pill and it'll flush you so bad you won't take it. You'll think you're having an allergic reaction. So, no, it's really not a waste at all. But, you know, look at the other stuff. You may want to, again, I don't know the direct reason you're taking it. Assumingly, it's for better aging. But, you know, look at this combination I have. Do your own research, you know, and just decide. I know it's going to be a lot less expensive. I think Life Extension makes some good products, and I've used them for years. But, you know, I found myself taking too many of them, and I like the combination. I had a patient today bring me a bag of their vitamins and wanted me to look at them. There's a whole bag of them at the end of the meeting, and so they came in there for advice. They had gotten to Cleveland. We looked at everything. And at the end, they gave me all the supplements, the grocery full bag that they've been taking. And so, doc, can I get rid of some of these? So I looked at all the ones they were taking, and except for the magnesium and the omega-3s, everything was in my multi. I mean, you know, my multi is unbelievably good because it has 5,000 D with K. It's got the methylated B complex. It's got the vitamin C, it's got the zinc, it's got the copper, it's got the gamma E, it's got the A. I mean, it's just a loaded vitamin. So I told him, when you finish all these, just take my multi, take your omega, and take your magnesium at night, and that's all you need. You know, you can not have to take all this grocery bag. So anyway, so no, don't get down, because you're on the right track. You need NAD+. So, finish it out and then maybe, you know, try this other stuff if you want. Because there's a lot of good things by taking apigenin and astragalus too. So,
yeah,
that's kind of why I developed this.
It definitely doesn't seem like it's a waste at all. But I'm glad that question came in because, you know, it was mentioned in the podcast, about taking it directly versus not. Whether or not that was going to be absorbed. So thank you for putting that in there, letting us clarify. This also has to do with last week's live episode on the Performance Medicine Show and talking about the fillers. And the question is, watched last week's show late, but curious what the other Life Extension supplements are other than the omega-3s that you mentioned you may start to steer clear of due to fillers. They're just wanting to make sure these aren't on the shelf.
I'm not sure which ones you have, but you need to look through them. The main one is the multi.
Okay.
You know, the Life Extension 2-a-day. I think my multi is way better. Again, I hope the Life Extension rep's not watching this, but so be it. I don't know why they started putting a couple fillers in there, but, you know, the company that I've contracted with out of Portland, Oregon, Freedom to Formulate, they don't put any fillers in there. You know, just a vegetable capsule with cellulose, you know, but, and they're dated. And it's just in my opinion, a wonderful thing. But look at the ones and just make sure that there's no extra fillers. There's so many Life Extension vitamins. And again, I like Life Extension. I've been taking them for years. I'm just trying to, you know, up my game a little bit. And I love Life Extension because they do a lot of the research. They put out a great, you know, magazine, and, you know, I'm sure I'll always work with them. But just like the, you know, the CoQ10, you know, I added PQQ to my energy supplement. So you get both of them in one for the same price as you'd get CoQ10 with. Mm. You know, CoQ10 makes your mitochondria pump out more ATP, but the PQQ helps your body produce more mitochondria. And Life Extension does sell that one as well, but I just combine them. So, you know, look at closely, but Life Extension makes good stuff. They really do.
Thank you for that question there, letting us talk more about that. It's a topic we'll continue to talk about as, you know, we start to, as, you know, because things change. People add things to certain things, and we'll just stay on top of it. Thank you so much for that question. Let's go to this one came up on from YouTube. This is in regards to methylene blue. Would it be contraindicated to use Cialis and methylene blue at the same time? One produced nitric oxide and is a vasodilator, while the other does the exact opposite. I love this question.
It's a great question. You've really looked into this. Because, you know, there's a lot of controversy in academia concerning nitric oxide and whether it's good or bad for you. I think it can be good and bad. So I think it definitely is a vasodilator. But if you look at some of the other things like methylene blue and you've looked into it, it's kind of an anti-nitric oxide producer. So, which some people say creates more oxidative stress on your body. But I think there's good out of both. So in other words, I wouldn't tell somebody to quit taking L-arginine or L-citrulline because there's certain benefits by it. But that's another reason I like methylene blue. I think it balances that out. And certainly I think you can take both of them together. So, but great. You've really, whoever asked this question has really looked into things. They've taken a deep dive on nitric oxide production. So I'm big on both of them. Gosh, methylene blue is just, it's an amazing compound. I of course take it, and I put two or three people on it today for long COVID and recurrent urinary tract infection, another one. Gosh, what else did I use for today? Actually, I used it for somebody with migraine headaches. But mostly they had gotten Botox for their large doses of Botox for migraines for their neurologist and were left with such a foggy brain from that, that I think methylene blue will help that. You know, I think it really helps alertness and brain fog. That's the main reason I use it for long COVID. That's one of the main complaints. And it does seem to help mitochondrial respiration too. So it helps you breathe better. You know, I know when I take it before a workout, I feel better. But, and it's safe, you know, you're not taking extraordinary amounts of it. But it can be a lifesaver. Think of it with use in the emergency room, which every ER doc knows where it's located because you have to put it intravenously in there. When you have a patient come in with carbon monoxide poisoning or cyanide poisoning, it immediately reverses methemoglobinemia,
yep,
which is what kills you with those two compounds. So look into methylene blue, and certainly you can take those together. But great question.
So Cialis and methylene blue, no contraindication?
No.
Thank you so much for that question. I hope that helps. I see Lisa's in the building. Lisa, welcome in. Steve's wonderful question there. I see Carol. Thank you. Marshall, I got your question. Thank you guys for putting the questions in the comments. If you have one, go ahead and put it in. Let's get to, this is a, let's see here. Where am I? A finasteride question. Any suggestions for I actually got two here, on hair thinning. Any suggestions for a 26-year-old male with thinning hair and high DHT levels that has had to stop their low dose finasteride? Hair is improving, but now thinning again, having to stop. See if there's...
Yeah, I've got a great suggestion. One of the things I really like. Yeah, you know, I don't think finasteride causes testicular cancer, but certainly, you know, if they've had that, I'd probably steer clear of it. Certainly the oncologist will tell you to do that, but it's certainly, I've done the research in this. I cannot, and I've talked to a few oncologists, I cannot find any correlation to causation. But yeah, I'll tell you what I really like in that situation, besides the vitamins like biotin and all that, is and again, you could use some natural DHT blockers like saw palmetto, I guess. You know, I don't think it would hurt at all. And fortunately, these days, testicular cancer is curable 99% of the time. But I would probably use minoxidil, you know, which is an alpha blocker. I like it. I've been taking it. Andy takes it along with, he takes a little finasteride too, but his hair is thick. It's really just incredibly noticeable what he's done with his hair, hadn't it been? I mean, you've seen
it's the craziest thing, because now if I'm with him, his hair is noticeably it's just, it looks amazing. And he gets comments everywhere he goes about his hair. I didn't know what he was doing, to be honest.
He's over in England right now, and mm-hmm. they're probably, he's visited Buckingham Palace, and I think they mistake his hair for like one of those big hats that people wear. It's so thick and tall. But I really like oral minoxidil. It's the same ingredient they put in Rogaine, but it's orally and it works better. Talk to any of the derm people. They use it all the time, 2.5 milligrams. You know, it's very few contraindications. I guess if it lowers your blood pressure too much, you shouldn't take it, but I just haven't seen it do that. I really like the oral minoxidil, 2.5 milligrams. I think it helps tremendously.
And that's okay with somebody with high DHT levels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it won't directly bring down the DHT levels, but it really works for hair. And the problem with Rogaine is it's messy. I mean, nobody wants to keep putting that on their head every night. It's just too messy, and it works better orally anyway. This is a systemic problem. Other things, I had a patient today, well, somebody's trying to call me, but that I put on some shampoo, Ontogeny C, that I think is really good for thickening your hair up. And of course, we have Dr. Rogers' hair vitamin as well that has a bunch of stuff in it that I kind of selected out that I think is very helpful. Not going to hurt anybody. But I also told a guy today, use a couple times a week, use a dandruff shampoo. Hmm. And maybe use Ontogeny C on the days you're not using the dandruff shampoo. And the hair should thicken up. A lot of times with, especially male pattern baldness, you know, there's a genetic trait to it. So I agree, though, start early, because it's very hard to clear up. You know, gosh, we even do a lot of PRP injections to the scalp. That seems to help. Anything seems to help better when you're a 26-year-old person, you know. So PRP to the scalp, done a lot of that. I really like it. Some people use the laser combs and hats. I think they do help. I really do. So consider that.
And I want to make sure I get this in with the finasteride and testicular cancer. I think I put that up along with the wrong context here. So this is actually the start of the question. I have read a few things online that say there is a link. So I'll let you kind of...
I've seen it too. You know, I did some research on it. But most of it says that, no, there is no link. And okay. I mean, look at who gets testicular cancer. It's not people taking finasteride. You know, people taking finasteride are old dudes. You know, it's just not, okay. It's just not seen in that. But, people I've talked to, research I've done, if you look on the fringes, it's like, well, it could possibly, but I just don't believe it. What else was I going to say about, if you have to take chemo, I had a lady that had breast cancer, did not lose any hair through taking chemo because she had a cold cap that she wore during the chemo, and she didn't lose any hair with it. So
what's a cold cap?
That's something. Yeah, it's you put it on your scalp and it keeps your head cold.
Huh.
And yeah, it worked really well for her.
That's really interesting.
But anyway. Yeah.
Thank you for those questions on finasteride and hair loss. That's a topic that we love talking about, and I feel like it affects, you know, so many different people. So thank you for sending that in over email. We got one more question here, I believe, and then we're going to go to the live comments. So if you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put it in the comments. Let's see if... I don't think I've put this one up. Does niacinamide have the same effect on cholesterol markers as niacin does? And can either of these be inflammatory to the prostate gland? I do not think I've put this up there.
No, that's a good question. Like I said, no, niacinamide does not lower your cholesterol.
Okay.
Like niacin will. You know, it has no, it also won't flush you like niacin will, but no, it will not lower your cholesterol or raise your HDL. But I haven't seen anything that would cause reason to inflame your prostate gland. I've never heard of that.
All right. Thank you for that question. Came on YouTube here. All right. I think that does it. With the questions that came in throughout the week, if I miss somebody, I've got my eye on my email right now, so you can kind of nudge me there. I'll make sure that I'm not missing anything. All right, so we're going to go to the live comments. I see Carter's here. Carter, hello, hello. Can't wait to see you soon over in Johnson City. Let's see. Lisa, this is your chance. Let's rock on here. We're doing live Q&A. So if you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put it in the comments. And thank you for hanging out with us. Janice got a great question on YouTube here that I know is a concern for many people. Good evening. I would love to know Dr. Rogers' thoughts on breast implant illness. I even think that some people have gotten their breast implants out because of certain complications. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I have seen it. Certainly, you know, that's the reason they took silicone implants out years ago. They're back on the market. Dow Chemical used to make them. They had went off the market. There were so many lawsuits, but there's no doubt in my mind that, that I've seen it, and anytime you put a foreign body in, you can run the chance of creating that foreign body response, especially to people that might have multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome. So yes, I have seen it. And if you think you're suffering from it, you know, if it's causing an autoimmune illness, then you might consider, you know, getting them out. I've even seen the saline ones cover it or cause it, or there seemed to be some correlation. So, yeah, there is a slight risk of that. For the vast majority, be fine probably, but certainly it's out there. A lot of inflammation, just generalized inflammation when it does hit you, and why it hits you, who knows, but, that certainly does seem to be a corollary there. So for some people, this, I wouldn't everybody freak out about it, yeah. But who has one, but it's something that I have seen happen.
Janet, thank you for putting that in there because it must be topical at the moment where this is coming out. We definitely have had questions around that. So thank you, Janet, for putting that in the comments here and letting us kind of hopefully ease some concern for some people. Okay, let's keep moving here. Let's go to Thelma. Can castor oil pack shrink benign brain tumors? Thelma, if I'm messing up that, let me know. What's your thoughts on this?
I just don't know that it can. Again, benign brain tumors like a meningioma, most of those are found incidentally, and they don't tend to grow much, but certainly you keep an eye on them with your neurosurgeon and see. But I just don't know if that's something that, you know, is a wives' tale or what, but I just have no knowledge that it can do that. You know, maybe it can. I just don't know that.
All right, Thelma, thank you for putting that in here. I'm going to put this up from Jasmine. Jasmine, what's up? I want to say what's up to all the Knoxville crew. I believe we have a crew all together. I see Amber's in here. I hope you guys are having a blast. Thank you for hanging out with us this evening. Hello, Amber. Hello, hello. Hello to everyone who's in our Knoxville or Fountain City offices. Hope you guys are having a blast. Okay, let's get to, I want to put this up from Lisa because it's super timely. And I kind of know you, your stance on this, and it's a cool conversation. So Lisa, I hope this helps you. What are you doing, you know, with stem cells? What's your thoughts? I know we've had these conversations.
Stem cells are probably the future of a lot of things for sure. And of course, for, you know, hematologic cancers, certainly, you know, stem cell transplants are life-saving in a lot of cases. For things like longevity, they're probably good. I mean, some people even infuse them through your veins for generalized longevity, anti-inflammatory effects, that type of thing. But they are controversial. You know, there's a lot of sham stuff out there right now with them that really shouldn't be happening. But the FDA does not like stem cells unless they come from your own fat or your own bone marrow. So really, so if you want stem cells right now, like to inject, say, into a joint or anything, in your own body, you can certainly do that. There's plenty of people that are doing it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a podcast with a guy who knows a lot about this pretty soon. But so you have to get a bone marrow sample to do it. And then if you get you get it from your own fat, then you can't manipulate it too much. So the FDA has some pretty stringent rules on this. I know I looked into doing some of it from Wharton's jelly, from placental tissue and that type of thing years ago. But just when it's about to get popular, the FDA clamped down on it. So, you know, I'm not going to do anything the FDA is going to come down on me for. So most of the people that were doing that were shut down. Not that I think it doesn't work, but there's so much potential in that. But for right now, my reasoning is, like, if you're old and you want it for longevity and you get it from your own old body, then it might not work as well as it will if you get it from something like cord blood, which, you know, if you're having kids now, I'll definitely bank my cord blood, you know, for future possible stem cell treatments. I mean, I wish we'd have done it because, you know, have two type 1 diabetic kids. Yeah. The cure could be in your own cord blood. So definitely it's worth the money to bank your cord blood, in my opinion. Now, what we do is PRP, which is not controversial. It's very safe. It's not like a stem cell, but it has growth factors in it that, I mean, I'm a prime example. Both my knees are doing incredibly better from having Jill do PRP on my knees. I admit it didn't help my thumb joint too much, but I'm hoping it will. It helped it some, but, you know, I play so much guitar, I think that's what's keeping that kind of flared up at times. But great question. So stay tuned for the future on stem cells. Just don't, you know, go somewhere where they're doing it illegally. I have plenty of patients that go to Mexico and Panama and get it and swear by it, where they can do it down there. But if you do it in the United States and you're using the other stuff, you know, they're going to probably get put out of business, shut down. So,
and I'm going to put this up from Robin. Hello, Robin. I'm so glad you're here. I see Montana's in here too. Got the whole Knoxville and Fountain City crew with us. She's saying there are a lot of new laws about stem cells because of the FDA. Yeah. It's just becoming more difficult to use in practice. Thank you for this, Robin. Yeah. And it's, we're seeing, I felt like a few years ago, lots of people were starting something like that, starting to use it in practice, and seems that people are clamping down. All right, let's keep going here. Thank you so much for that question, Lisa. I've got, let's see here. Where is Steve's question? What is your recommendation for improving muscle strength and muscle tone as we age? I work out several times a week, but don't feel that strong. I'm losing distance on the golf course. As you know, Doc, Steve is a darn near a scratch golfer. He might actually be a scratch golfer. I hope I didn't offend
him. He's a very
you.
Good golfer. He's a very good golfer.
He's like really good, and I'm showing my golf naivete. But what's your thoughts on this, as far as like muscle
Great
strength,
question.
Muscle tone as we age?
Deal with this every day. First of all, make sure your testosterone level is good. And if you have a decent testosterone level, but you have symptoms of low T, you know, get a free T measured. You may have a 500 T level, but your free T may be low. So always check a free T if your total T is normal, but yet you have symptoms. You can't build muscle, that type of thing. So there's no doubt that that's the one thing you can do that's works tremendously. Excuse me. But the other things, I like the perfect aminos. You may not be getting enough protein. Another thing you can do is the thing Dr. Atiyah really recommends as you get older is blood flow restriction cuffs for when you work out with weights. What they are, they're these devices that, for example, if you want your arms bigger, I don't know if you can get a picture of these guns I have right now, Ben, or not. I don't think they're showing up. They're looking smaller than they really are in real life, aren't they?
It's crazy.
Don't they look bigger than this in real life?
It's crazy how these,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's a lot bigger than that, usual. But, you know, the pitchers seem to shrink them up. But anyway, Steve seen me in person. He knows I'm jacked up.
He knows. He knows the truth.
Kidding. But anyway, blood flow restriction cuffs, which you use on arms and legs. Unfortunately, you can't use it for compound lifts, but you can get bigger arms. And what you do, you put these cuffs on, then you can lift weights to failure, which using like a tenth of the amount of weight of your maximum rep. So blood flow restriction workouts are really efficient. So that's a good way to grow your muscles, assuming your testosterone level is normal. If your T level is not adequate, very hard to get muscle. If you don't get enough protein, it's very hard to build muscle. It's hard anyway as we get older, but I certainly like... There's other supplements you can take, like L-glutamine is pretty good for that. Branched chain amino acids, which really you take perfect aminos, you're getting all those. So I really like perfect aminos. I like hormone management. I like, you have to do some type of working out with weights. And, you know, you can even overdo that.
Yeah.
Where you don't get break it down. So, you know, your recovery is really about as important as your workout. And another thing that I like to use is peptides, you know, like somorlin. The one I take is ipamorlin, CJC 1295 with ipamorlin, which is my favorite one for repair. Of course, testosterone is an anabolic steroid, so it's for growth. And really, the peptides that I'm talking about that stimulate your own growth hormone production are, as Robin talks about, she gives a great summary on all the peptides that we use. But they're very useful.
Can you?
They really work very well in synergy with each other.
Can you real quick? You said you're taking CJC 1295 with ipamorlin. and then Somorlin as well. Can you kind of go over?
I'll take both. You don't need both. You
right.
Take,
when would you choose one or the other?
Well, I'll look at my pocketbook and see. Yeah. The Ipamorlin's a little more expensive.
Okay.
Probably that's more people use Somorlin, but which is great too. I just think that Ipamorlin may have a little edge on it.
Okay.
Robin probably agree, but you know, it's a, and don't fool around with the oral or sublingual forms. You need the subcutaneous injection. And you do it at night. You do it 5 nights a week, an hour before you go to bed, on an empty stomach, because that's when it stimulates your growth hormones. Your growth hormone mostly comes at night. So, and two, if you're not getting a good night's sleep, it's hard to repair. So it's not only about growth, it's about repair. And certainly your diet comes into play here. You know, supplementation, testosterone, diet, workout. You got to have the whole package, especially as you, you know, as you get older. But besides Stephen, in golf, isn't it how straight you hit it? It's really not that far. Maybe you need to get a bigger club.
I tell you what, I think Steve's short game is, I like, from what I hear, is like top notch. And he's trying to, you know, he's literally trying to shoot, you know, 71, 70. You're just trying to not lose a ball when you golf.
Yeah, I'm a terrible golfer, you know.
Steve, thank you for that question. You know, it's something that based on, you know, talking with you, talking with Robin, it's very tedious, you know, like, cause you can get hurt as well, you know, and you don't want to get hurt.
Get hurt playing golf?
Building muscle.
Hey, you wouldn't believe this, Ben, but you know, I played pickleball last weekend in this little men's tournament for men over 50, and it's all doubles, of course. And there was a guy that I was playing against. He wasn't on the court at the same time I was then, but he ruptured his bicep playing pickleball.
Really?
Yeah, completely torn bicep.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of those through weightlifting, but as Robin has, but I haven't seen a guy do it playing pickleball. But surely enough, it was gone.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of injuries with pickleball. You got to be careful. And I'm a huge pickleball fan. All right, let's get to Marshall here on YouTube. Any suggestions on how to detox from years of linoleic acid from seed oils? Thanks in advance. You mentioned linoleic acid, I think, last week in regards to omega-3s.
Yeah. I went over several Clevelands today, and I told a patient that their cholesterol was mildly elevated, but they had a really low linoleic acid. And I say, hey, I'd rather have your linoleic acid and your cholesterol, because the linoleic acid is a bad marker if that's up. And you get it through eating vegetable oils, seed oils, eating out a lot, and those type of things. So the good thing is, you probably already, if you've stopped them, you probably don't need to worry too much about it. Again, just use those other forms of detox that we do. Take omega-3s. Make sure you're omega-6-3 ratio is good. Take milk thistle, look at your liver function test, do infrared sauna, drink a lot of water, breathe clean air, make sure your kidneys are functioning well. I like NAC, make sure you stimulate your glutathione levels. You know, that's another one that you really need a precursor for, I think. Taking glutathione directly is not as good as taking NAC, I don't think, from everything I read. You know, you may be able to get it intravenously efficiently, but certainly from the oral route, I'd rather do NAC. But anyway, so I don't think it's a huge worry. Just keep an eye on it. You'll see that it'll go down, which is certainly something we look at really closely when we do a Cleveland Heart panel.
So
great comment, though.
So there is a way to, you know, detox on that. Okay.
Quit eating it. Yeah.
Yeah. Marshall, I hope that helps. Thank you for the question over there on YouTube.
And always make sure your gut function is good, because if your gut's not functioning, you know, detox is harder. You know, you detox through your sweat, your breathing, your urine, your poop. So make sure all those are working really well.
Yeah, Robin did explain this episode on DIM. We talk a lot about DIM and in office at least, and she was talking about the phase one and phase two detoxification of estrogen, and in phase two, she says that's when gut health comes into play. You need, your gut needs to work well, in order for that to
your liver and your gut need to work well for detoxification.
Yeah.
So
super cool.
Good question. Good question.
Thank you, Marshall, for that. Let's go to Janice on Facebook. What can cause dizziness when you bend over to pick something up? My husband is on blood pressure meds, lisinopril. I never can pronounce this one. Lisinopril. And just found out he has a cyst in his nasal cavity. Could that cause his dizziness?
I don't know if a cyst in your nasal cavity would cause dizziness. I don't know why that would. When you think dizziness, he may be hypotensive. And the other, you don't think about your nasal cavity as much as you do your inner ear with that. But one thing, I don't like lisinopril. I just don't like that blood pressure medicine. It used to be the go-to, but he's trying to call me, but used to be the go-to, but I'd get on an ARB like Losart or one of those, because it's just a lot less side effects. Just safer, I think. And I think it works better. A lot more other beneficial things rather than taking an ACE inhibitor, which is kind of old school. It still protects your kidneys and everything, even if you're diabetic, when you switch to an ARB. So when I think about you're dizzy when you bend over to pick something up, it could be that when you raise back up, the blood flow is not to your, it's not going to your head quick enough. Some of that's normal. I get that sometimes. I'm tall and it takes a while for my heart to pump the blood to my head. But, if you go from a sitting or lying position to a sudden upright position, you feel woozy headed. Check your blood pressure when you're laying, sitting, and standing, especially if you're on a blood pressure medicine. If it's dropping too much, then you're probably on too much blood pressure medicine. If you're not on a blood pressure medicine, you have low blood pressure anyway, make sure you're eating enough salt. Make sure your cortisol levels are adequate, that you don't have adrenal fatigue. But the other thing is, if it's positional, like if you move suddenly, like if it's not head down and up, if you turn from side to side and your eyes start going like that, and it's that kind of vertigo, then that's a different matter. That's an inner ear problem, benign positional vertigo. And you can see Ernie. You can see an ENT doc, physical therapist. Ernie, you do these positional maneuvers, Hall Pike, Epley maneuvers that can really cure it. I mean, you can come in and Ernie does that stuff all the time. Clear those crystals out of your inner ear. And I had a patient with that today, and they said it worked like a charm. But their doc who did it wisely put them in a neck brace for a couple of days so they wouldn't do any sudden movements. I'd never heard of that before until today.
That's interesting.
So that may be something that I'm going to advise my patients on.
That's a really nice little tip there. Janice, yeah. I hope that helps. It's a really good question. I didn't know that about the checking your blood pressure on those three different positions. So
look at a few things that reevaluate your lisinopril as well.
Okay. All right, Janice, I hope that helps. Okay, let's go to where am I at? I think I'm here. Losing my place. Okay. Roel is asking, Doctor, I will be taking a 2-week vacation in August. I'm a mail carrier and it's been very hot summer. Should I consider an IV drip? Which one would you recommend? And is there a preparation for IV? It's a great question. It's super hot here in Tennessee. I know it's
you're Roel's, in Texas, I think,
Roel's
aren't you,
in Texas.
Roel?
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah, it's been really hot down there. Yeah, I love IV drips. We give them every day in our office. If you're just dehydrated, then just a liter of normal saline. You can get that. Gosh, we do those for like $125, $150. You go to the ER, you're going to be faced with $2,000. Dr. Atiyah talks about that a couple of weeks ago about it. He took his son in for one of these ridiculous costs. But yeah, you know, my favorite really, if you're just kind of tired and you want to recover, is a Myers cocktail, which has different vitamins in it. You know, whenever I'm really wasted, jet lagged, or I've been sick or something, or, you know, just for some reason haven't slept well or stressed or whatever, I get a Myers and I love it. There's really no preparation for an IV that you need specifically. I mean, if you're one that faints when you get your blood drawn or something, you might want to make sure you don't come in on an empty stomach. But otherwise, there's not a lot to it because, you know, you're laying down anyway in a nice comfortable chair. So I do like the drips. You know, we certainly use a lot of them. And if you have a choice down there, they'll probably be familiar with a Myers cocktail. They're pretty well known. So great idea.
I also love, as we've talked about on this show before, Element T as a what do you call
electrolyte
supplement there.
Yeah.
So it's been super hot in Texas, Roel, and IVs are pretty incredible. People perk up real fast.
Roel, does it really cost 66 cents to get a stamp nowadays? I read that in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. Now, to put a stamp on a letter is 66 cents.
Oh, really?
I remember when it was 5 cents. I don't mail out letters much anymore. So I don't know.
That's interesting.
But, well, it's going up. I think it's going up again. But my grandfather he called himself a letter carrier. So I don't know the difference. Letter carrier, mail carrier.
A super.
I've always thought that'd be a great job because you're outside, you're talking to people. I guess it's weather dependent, but you're exercising.
You walk a lot.
To me, it'd be a cool job. Be a cool job, I think.
Roel definitely gets more steps in than I do. I'm jealous of that, Roel. But Roel,
He probably does push-ups every other block. He gets down, does 10, 20 push-ups between blocks.
Roel is confirming it. It has
gone up.
Roel, I hope that helps, man. Let's get to. I'm going to put this comment up here from Tanya. And hopefully this helps somebody. Message a couple weeks ago about getting terrible leg and foot cramps when I intermittent fast. Okay. Thank you so much for recommending magnesium. I started magnesium
awesome.
Day after show. Super cool. Thank you for putting that in there, Tanya. I'm awesome. Really glad that helps. Magnesium is really good.
I think any adult should be taking it at night. It prevents cardiac arrhythmias. It helps leg cramps. It helps your bowels. It just helps you sleep, relaxes you. It's a great supplement.
Have you noticed that with, you know, you talk a lot about intermittent fasting. Are you more likely to cramp because of that?
I've run into a couple of people that, somehow they got their electrolytes unbalanced a little bit by that. A lot of times it's just a matter of, you know, slowly getting into intermittent fasting. You know, not doing right off the bat an 18-6, but start out with 12-12 and then go 14-10, you know, and just kind of go slow into it. Some people don't like intermittent fasting. They just can't handle it.
I'm going to put this up here from my man, Mike. This is a question around thembendazole. And yes, thank you, Mike, for putting this in here. About thembendazole for someone with stage 4 lung cancer. Robin mentioned it in the office. A 64-year-old mom has it. I think the question, Mike, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that too late?
No, I don't think so. If you look at the guy that discovered thembendazole for cancer, I'm blanking out on his name right now, but he's a pretty well-known guy. I'm sure somebody will come up with that, but that's what he had was stage 4 lung cancer. Mm. Everybody said he was going to die, but it's been years and years and he's fine. So, you know, again, that's not going to happen with everybody, but I would I think if I had that diagnosis, I'd definitely go on a ketogenic diet. I'd consider some high dose IV vitamin C. I'd get on Fembin and I'd get on artemisinin. And I'd still do the regular treatments as well.
Yeah.
You know, and they're fortunately nowadays with they're able, instead of harsh chemo, in a lot of cases, they can do some biologics that will target. I mean, you see, unfortunately, you see advertisements on TV all the time about it. You know, Keytruda or some of those like that. But I'm not an oncologist, so I'm not up with the latest. But so do the best of both worlds, and hopefully she'll survive.
One thing that I'll, or someone will do, Mike, is we'll put in the comments a link to the article we wrote around fenbendazole and artemisinin, because it has a whole bunch of resources for, like, you know, where to get fenben. You know, there's groups you can be a part of. Like, it's, there's a lot of really good info. So I'll put that in the comments here after the show. Okay. Let's see here. Where am I at? Deborah's asking, what is a Cleveland panel? Deborah, this is a wonderful question, and thank you for putting in this, because we've been talking about it, and some, there's probably, you know, quite a few of you who don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So
it's probably the one of the best things we do at Performance Medicine is get a baseline comprehensive blood test on you. It's called the Cleveland Heart Panel. And we kind of tailor it to what we want on there. So there are a lot of variations of it, but basically it checks a ton of things to give us an idea about where you're at. Several inflammatory markers, a couple genetic tests like the MTHFR, the APOE. It has all the normal stuff on it too, like a CMP, CBC, liver, kidney, but also checks complete thyroid. It checks cortisol levels. It checks all your hormone levels, the size of your cholesterol particles. It checks not just your A1C, but your insulin numbers, your C-peptide. Give us an idea about how insulin resistant you are. And vitamin levels. I mean, it's just a wonderful panel to start out with. Usually covered by insurance. Quest Lab is the one that runs it for us. But yeah, it's just a great comprehensive blood test.
And Deborah, if you want to dive deeper on it, Robin didn't explain this episode on YouTube. So if you search Robin Riddle and Cleveland Heart, it'll be first up. So it kind of goes over everything that's in it, because it's super intensive. Like Doc says, the most, extensive test we run.
And we even do telephone consults. If you live, you know, another state or whatever, you can get, the Cleveland panel. We probably have to send you an order, and then you go to your local Quest Lab, which they're everywhere, and draw it and then get on the phone with us and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. And I will say I believe the Clevelands that we're ordering out of Performance Medicine are a tad bit, they're tailored. I know, you know, the provider team, personalize it. So,
yeah, if you go to your Quest, local Quest site, they may not know exactly what to draw on it, but it's just, we send it up to the Cleveland Clinic, which is, you know, in my opinion, the number one place in the world for this type of thing. Certainly for heart stuff it is, but, yeah, it's just a great way to start to see where you're at.
Deborah, definitely check out that video. Let's keep moving here. Andrea on YouTube, I discovered I have a pineal gland cyst after a car crash. Would it have any impact on my health? My immune system is weak. Could there be a connection? I'm super sorry, Andrea. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, pineal gland cyst. Yeah. It's probably an incidental type thing. I don't know if there's a connection or not. That's really hard to say. I know from any kind of trauma, it can weaken your immune system. So, you know, it needs to be looked at by somebody who's an expert on the, you know, pineal gland cyst. And, you know, see how big it is, see if it needs to be removed, that type of thing. But I mean, it's possible if that trauma really kicked off your immune system and caused it. Otherwise, it could have been an incidental thing. Really interesting.
Andrea,
see a specialist on that.
Okay,
Andrea.
All right, Andrea. Hope that helps a little bit. Let's go to WC1A. Hello, man. It's good to see you. I'm feeling a lack of energy now for a few months. I'm 76. I exercise 4 days a week with free weights and cardio. What do you suggest to ask my doctor to determine low energy? This is very similar to what Steve was talking about.
Yeah, that's what Steve was talking about. You know, it'd be nice if you could get a Cleveland Heart panel, you know, comprehensive blood work to look at your testosterone levels. That'd be the first thing. Make sure you're getting enough protein. Make sure you're not overdoing it. Make sure you're getting a good night's sleep. Check your B12 level. Check your folate level. Of course, your blood count. There could be a million things causing that. But, you know, a lot of people that had COVID, too, had a lot of fatigue afterwards, especially shortness of breath on exertion, brain fog, that type thing. You know, WC, I would try some methylene blue. You know, first try to determine the cause of it by going and get a comprehensive checkup. And then and make sure they check your testosterone level. Certainly, you're 76. That's not too old to start testosterone. Started people on that way older than you are. So look at that. Those are some things I would look at. And you should get better. Make sure you're not dehydrated.
Yeah.
You know, look at that. Make sure you don't have sleep apnea. Make sure your nutrition's good, your gut's good. Vitamin CoQ10, PQQ, those type of things.
All right, WC, hope that helps. Let's get to Johnny here on Facebook. Can a person with a colonoscopy bag take Digest Shield?
You sure can. Yeah. Digest Shield is the best thing we've come up with for gut health. It'd probably be great for you, especially. You certainly can. Even the other thing you could think about would be the perfect aminos. Mm-hmm. You know, I put people on dialysis on both those all the time. Not all the time. I don't see that many dialysis, but I wouldn't have any hesitation about it.
All right, Johnny, I hope that helps. Huge shout out to Digest Shield and Shield Nutraceuticals. Let's get to Butch here on YouTube. I have atopic dermatitis or eczema on my hand. Any suggestions?
Yeah, you know, that's an autoimmune type thing. Look at your gut, make sure your gut's functioning good and that you don't have any gut dysfunction, leaky gut, which can precipitate something like that. Look at food allergies. Consider LDN, low dose naltrexone for it. We use that a lot. I'm sure you're getting different kinds of creams that may help. There's even some non-steroidal creams that can help that without thinning your skin out too much, like a potent steroid cream would do. But try to get, if you can find out the cause of it, which may be gut related, food related, autoimmune related, then because you need to look into that, because a lot of times when you have one autoimmune thing like that, you're more prone to get another. So certainly try to find the cause. And if you can't, always look at LDN, low dose naltrexone. Do your research on that. We've done podcasts on that and a lot of good information about atopic dermatitis. Andy tends to get that. He certainly takes LDN. I think it's really helped him.
And I'm going to put this up here from Andrea. Thank you, Andrea, for this. Hopefully this helps some of you. Healing my son's gut and avoiding his allergen healed his eczema, but topically beef tallow is incredible for eczema. That's awesome.
That's a good point. Don't we learn a lot with this? Oh. Yeah. I mean, you may even want to try a carnivore diet. Look at Dr. Salandino's stuff and, you know, that may cure it right there. Look up the carnivore code. Read the carnivore code by Dr. Salandino. That, believe it or not, it's probably dietary related.
Thank you, Andrea, for putting that comment. And I'm going to put this up from WC just because one thing that, you know, I hope this show can, you know, be a resource for is, you know, how to talk to your doctor about some of this stuff, because especially around testosterone and, you know, with the VA in particular. You know what I'm saying? The VA is incredible.
What are you saying, man? VA is incredible, but sometimes they'll outsource some things. Like the one we have a fantastic VA here. It's one of the prettiest campuses in the world in Johnson City, but they don't do much with testosterone. They just don't know much about it. So I treat a lot of veterans for low T, you know, and sometimes the VA tends to just do the, you know, the minimal, you know. So you have to look, be willing to go outside. My dad, who was a Navy doctor at one point in the Korean War, he was a surgeon, and he went to the VA over here, but he also had a private doctor because he knew it would be a little different level. So take advantage of both.
So anything you would coach them as far as when they go see their urologist, just make sure they get a free T and a total T?
Yeah. That and along with the other stuff. And, you know, I doubt they run a full Cleveland panel on you, but, you know, good thing about Cleveland, you may be on Medicare too. They cover it twice a year.
Yeah.
I know, cause I'm on Medicare. I get it twice a year. I'm going to get it drawn tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I'm going to redo a Cleveland tomorrow.
Well, I believe that's a show. No, and I give us
don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.